Good morning. It is time to get started. If you're coming in, make sure you get class notes from Mikey. If you do not have them, Mikey is helping to pass those out. So thanks, Mikey. It is nice to see Dennis and Ann back. And there's Ann. I saw Dennis through the hallway. I thought they were coming back in April, and they're coming back way earlier than April. So I was just wrong. But good to have the pews back. What prayer requests do we have this morning? What prayer requests? Sean?
On Facebook, my friend has a mission. His name is Willie. And at the end of the day, so when I pray that I get a good baptized, and pray that I can take care of my friend
You got it, buddy. So what's wrong with your friend Willie? I didn't catch that part. Oh, okay. We're just praying for him. Okay, good deal. Tracy, how's Roger Keller? No update. Okay, if you remember on Wednesday, we mentioned that a former student of Tracy's, Roger Keller, 19 years old, was injured severely in a car accident, has been in ICU ever since on life support, right? Okay, so we're praying for Roger Keller. Other prayer requests? Glenda. Do you have tests done? Oh, okay. So he's having treatment for back pain, essentially, correct? Okay. Got it. Okay. Let's keep Betty Tolbert in our prayers. I believe she is home from the hospital now. She was in there for almost a week. I think 5 or 6 days. Had pneumonia, I guess is what they ended up saying. So let's keep her in our prayers. Juanita? And she's home also, and she had ulcers. Is that correct? Ulcers? Was that what I understood?
Yeah, that's what was wrong with her this time.
Okay. Okay. Other prayer requests? Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Yes, Cleo. Sorry to hear that. How's your mother after her? And it was about 2 weeks ago that she got hit? Okay, that's what you were just saying. Okay. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this morning that we could come together. We thank you, Father, that we, as Christian brothers and sisters, could have the freedom to open your word and read and study. And we pray, Father, that you might bless us. Bless us as we seek to see your lesson for us in Scripture. Bless us as we try to apply it to our own lives. We pray, Father, that you might be with Sean and his friends that are in the mission, and especially Willie that he's mentioned. We also pray that you would be with Sean as he looks for a home. And just, Father, as he goes through those things that he needs to get himself set up and situated in an environment that's best for him. And we pray your blessings upon him. We also pray, Father, that you would be with him as he continues to study your word. And we thank you that he's learning more and more. And just pray that you would continue to bless him in that. We ask you to be with Roger Keller. We pray, Father, for him and his health, for his family, his doctors. And, Father, we don't know what will become of him. But, Father, if it's possible, we ask that you might give him another opportunity to come to know you. And we pray, Father, that if he survives this, that he will change how he's been living and seek you first. We pray, Father, for John Brazil. He's going to be having treatment. We pray, Father, that it will go well and that, Father, there'll be no complications, no problems at all. We just ask your blessings upon him and his family at this time and his doctors. We pray, Father, for Betty Tolbert and Juanita. We thank you that they're both home, and we just pray, Father, that you would continue to bless them with their ailments and watch over them, and especially Juanita, Father, as she also is battling with just many challenges right now. We also pray for Kaleo's father, Harris. Father, with the struggles he has in his life, we ask you to bless him. We ask you to help him to overcome them and help him to seek you. Help him to desire to come to know you better, Father. And we pray, Father, that you would put your healing hand upon him and his family. And again, we just thank you so much for our blessings, for this beautiful Sunday morning. And we pray, Father, that you would use us this week to be tools in your service. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, so everyone has class notes? Everyone has class notes, or at least access to class notes? Okay, before I actually get into class, I want to read a note that I have. It was given to me. I'm just going to read it. This was on our Facebook, the church's Facebook. Becky Bacon's home too. Good to see you, Becky. All right, so this is what it says. Hi, my name is Vasilika Prifty. How many of you guys remember Vasilika? All right. Hi, my name is Vasilika Prifty, and believe it or not, I'm still a member of the Church of Christ. I don't know if you still remember me, but I used to live with Aunt Isabella a few years ago. I have returned to Albania now and work as a professor in the nursing university here. I miss you guys so much. I just saw the pictures in the net, and it reminded me of all those beautiful times I had in USA. I'll write again sometimes. Please say hi to everyone from me, please. I do have a Facebook, so if anyone wants to be my friend with me, I'll be delighted. That's only when I have time to open the computer. Nice finding you again. So Don Rule got on Facebook and tried to find Vasilika Prifty, and you would think that that would be an easy name to pull up somebody. Surprisingly, there's more than one. Anyways, and so we weren't sure which Vasilika was her because it didn't have pictures of her. So I know we had a couple more people come in. Does everyone have class notes? Because we are starting now. All right. If you don't have class notes, Mikey has them. What we've been doing in our class in the back is we've been studying for some time now influential women of the Bible. We've talked about what influence is and the importance of that, the significance of that. And we are actually beginning our study on Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. And we have began in Luke chapter 1. And we are going to just go ahead and pick up where we were at in my class. So if you'd open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 34. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Now on your own, you may want to go back and read beginning in verse 26, but we've already done that in class, so we're not going to repeat that. So Luke chapter 1, verse 34. And in this passage, she's being told by the angel she's going to have a child. The angel has already told her cousin Elizabeth that she's also going to have a child. And I'm going to try this question in here. Every person I've asked this question has not gone over very well. So let's try it in here today. See if you guys, whatever. Okay, let's just see how it goes. I asked this class to the teenagers, then I asked this class to my adult class and back. And so, like I said, neither time has it gone well. What is more difficult, to have a baby as a virgin or to have a baby as an older woman? And the reason I think it's difficult is everyone keeps thinking, well, people keep saying, oh, an older woman, that's harder. And my point is trying to be, and I guess I'm not saying my question very well, as hard as it was going to be for Elizabeth to have a baby in her older years, as hard as that was going to be, it was going to be infinitely more difficult for Mary to have a baby as a virgin. But what's kind of interesting is, though, is the Holy Spirit uses Elizabeth, and he says, it's amazing that God can still work through Elizabeth, even in her older age. But what's even more amazing is that God is going to work through a virgin to have a baby. And so my question, which is not worded well, I guess, because no one ever seems to get it, is trying to get at the point that what Mary was going to do is not something that's kind of unique. It's not something that's kind of unheard of. It's absolutely unheard of. Never happened before, never happened again since, that a virgin would have a baby. Never has happened before, nor will it ever happen again. So that's kind of the question, and we were talking about that. And so the angel greets Mary, and then Mary, because she's a smart girl, if you read and study about Mary, she's a very intelligent young lady. She understands virgins don't have babies, so she asks some questions about this. Let's begin in verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born to you will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And here's what the angel wanted Mary to understand. Look at this next verse. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What does the angel offer to Mary's question from verse 34? Mary answers the question, How can this be? What is the angel's answer to Mary's question? Yes, John? Okay, that's what he's going to do. But the question is, Mary's asking is, how can this be? How can this be? Becky? Nothing is impossible with God. Now, God uses a little bit of proof or a little bit more evidence to try to convince her. What is some of the evidence he gives? He really says a couple of things here. First of all, what's going to happen with you, it's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. Andrea.
Also, he uses Elizabeth. You know, your older relative, it was impossible for her. We thought, too, but she's like
he uses Elizabeth as further evidence that God can do anything, right? He says, in fact, even your barren, older cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant right now. Now, this may have been the first time Mary has heard about this. She might not have known that her older cousin Elizabeth was pregnant because they didn't live in the same neck of the woods. Elizabeth was down near Jerusalem. Mary was up north in Nazareth, so they weren't in the same neck of the woods. And so perhaps for the first time, Mary hears my cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. And she says, maybe she's thinking, wow, God has worked in her life through the Holy Spirit to make her pregnant? And so the angel is giving her, here's one more reason why you can believe what I'm telling you. How can this be? Well, here's why. Because the Holy Spirit is going to work through you. Because God can do anything. As proof of that, look what He's done to your cousin Elizabeth. Look what He has done in her life. So that's kind of where He's going with this. So the conclusion again is this, nothing is impossible with God. When Mary hears this, how does she respond to his comments? How does she respond to that? Greg.
She responds that she is the Lord's servant.
Absolutely. I mean, Mary says, I'm just going to read it, but Greg summed it up very well. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. And then she just says, let it be according to your word. She didn't say, but I still don't understand it, Lord. She didn't try to say, but angel. I keep saying Lord. She's talking to Gabriel, the angel. She didn't say, I don't understand it. How can this be? She didn't keep on beating that question to death. Which, I mean, wouldn't that be a hard question to not keep beating to death? But she takes what the angel says, and she says, let it be according to your word. Mary, how does Mary's acceptance, let's ask this question. How does Mary's acceptance of the angel's explanation reflect upon her as a woman of God? Greg. Okay. The fact that she accepts what the angel says demonstrates that she had great faith, right? She understood who God was and that He was capable of doing this. We'll go Karen and then Sean. Okay, Karen says it's not every day an angel come and talk to somebody. And let's just make this reminder real quickly. This is the beginning of the Gospels, the beginning of the New Testament. When the book of Malachi was written, the last book of the Old Testament, there was a time from about 400 years where no one talked with God. So now all of a sudden, there is the silence of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all of a sudden it's been broken. First with Zechariah in the temple, now with Mary. And so what an amazing thing it must have been to be hearing that God is now talking to His people again. Dara. Okay, that was my next question.
There must have been
Okay. Derek makes a very good observation. That's actually where I was wanting to go with my next question. So let's kind of deal with what Derek's comment is. Okay, what is different about her response? Now let's go back to earlier in the same passage. Look at verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Sean, did you have a comment? I passed over you. I forgot I was going to come back to you. Yes, she was the mother of Christ and a believer. Absolutely. And she was very humble. Okay, but let's go back to verse 18, where Zechariah has just been told that he is going to be a father. Okay, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this?" Watch what he says. "For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel." And I love this announcement to Zechariah. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place. Look what the angel says, because you did not believe my words." So Dara asked a very good question. What's the difference from Zechariah's comment and Mary's comment? What's the difference? Becky?
He wanted proof. And Mary just accepted Gabriel's word.
Okay. Becky suggests maybe he wanted proof and Mary was willing to accept it. Sean, then we'll go Beverly, and then Tracy. Zechariah didn't believe. Mary did. Bev?
Well, I think Mary could have been stoned as a virgin. I'm not sure, whatever.
I mean, if you were going to compare the difficulties that Elizabeth was going to have to what Mary was going to have, Mary was going to have much more difficulties, right? Now, the one thing going for her is when the baby was 2 years old, she can chase after it better than Elizabeth, I guess, but everything else was going to be more difficult, right? Tracy. Okay, why, it can't possibly happen because I'm old. It can't possibly happen because I'm a virgin. So, but something was inherently different, and maybe the text doesn't make it really clear, but something was different, right? Because the angel said to Zechariah, "You didn't believe." Let's go Tanya, Becky, then Dave. All right, Becky. The difference between the two, though, right, is Mary didn't doubt, but Zechariah did. Dave.
I think Zechariah doubted because he saw it from the standpoint of a male.
Okay. Why would that matter?
Well, after all, at this point, the male had always been the sponsor of the sperm.
Well, you know, the Elizabeth is described as elderly and barren as well, right? Whatever the case, Zechariah didn't believe. We have two more comments over here. Greg and then Mildred. Mildred, did you have your hand up too? Or is it you? Okay. We're going to see more about her humility as we study her further, but she absolutely was humble and willing to accept God's will. Mildred.
I think Mary had studied the Old Testament. She knew that somebody was going to be there.
Certainly. We're going to look at her song, if you will, and she certainly... But do we think that Zechariah, as a priest, studied the Old Testament too? I think so. So there's still something... And there's still something different between these two. They both were Bible students, and I mean, I'm not trying to lay odds or anything, but my bet is Zechariah had studied it more than Mary, because he was an older man, he was a priest, and then she was a young teenager. Dara.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, we know that God knows the motives of men, and so it seems to me like Gabriel was allowed to show up because he was allowed to see the difference, because his response to Zechariah is, hey, this is who I am, and I stand in the presence of God. I mean, he's more giving
And you make a good point also. Gabriel has to give his credentials to Zechariah, doesn't he? I am Gabriel. I'm an angel of God, and he sent me to you. He gives him like his credentials. I'm just going to read to you a quote, and you can just take this quote for what it is. Brother Roper, in talking about this, and the difference between Zechariah and Mary, this was his comment. I may have put it on your notes, I don't remember. Unlike Zacharias, Mary had not difficult... had no difficulty in believing that what the angel promised would happen. She did have a question concerning how it would happen. Look at verse 45 real quickly. Look at what Elizabeth says regarding Mary. Luke chapter 1 verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when she made this comment. Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said regarding Mary that she believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord. So, you know, and I like this quote. To me, this quote makes sense. She wasn't having a problem believing that it would happen, but she was just curious how it was going to happen. And perhaps Zechariah's question was more of, I don't know how it could possibly happen. Whatever the difference, whatever the reason, the angel makes it clear that Zechariah didn't believe. But Mary here, she has this response and she says, may it be as you have said. And again, look at it, it says, verse 38, let it be to me according to your word. What an amazing statement of faith. What an amazing statement of faith. So then Mary, having just been told of her older cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy as well, in her excitement for her pregnancy and excitement for her cousin's pregnancy, she now makes a visit to her cousin. Let's pick up in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now I'm going to pause here for a second. I already kind of made this point. But it's likely that Zechariah, being a priest, lived near the temple. Okay? He was definitely in a town in Judah, which is southern, and Mary was in a town in Galilee called Nazareth. And so she had to go from Nazareth all the way down to Judah. And she had to pass through Samaria in the middle or turn over to the outside and come back in because some Jews would not pass through there. So she makes this trip, which could not have been a very easy trip in those days, to go see her cousin. It says, okay, verse 40. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women. And let's pause for a second. I want to just kind of remind you, let's say you're Mary, you've just been greeted by an angel who praises you and tells you you're going to have God's son, which has got to be kind of hard to digest. Then you go to your older cousin's house, and you probably think very highly of this older cousin. She's a priest's wife. She's probably, she is a very godly person, a very righteous person. Mary would have looked at her with great respect, would have had great admiration for her cousin Elizabeth. When she enters her house, this is how she's greeted by her older cousin Elizabeth. Her older cousin says, again, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Can you imagine if you're Mary, how do you take this all in? How can you possibly... Maybe you're thinking, you know, you're praising me in my pregnancy, but you're pregnant too, Elizabeth. You're carrying someone that must be important as well. So maybe Mary had all these mixed feelings and all this. Wouldn't that be a crazy time in your life? Remember that time when I found out from the angel that I was going to have God's son? That's got to be a pretty big time in your life. I bet you this was one of those moments that Mary would always remember. What do you think about this exchange between Mary and Elizabeth? Phil.
Mary probably wondered, how'd she know?
Okay, Mary, good question. Mary might be wondering, how did Elizabeth know I was pregnant? Because Mary's not that pregnant right now. So she's not showing. They didn't, she didn't call her. There was no text messaging. Mary, but Elizabeth is greeting Mary when she enters the room, when she enters the house, with words of praise.
She identified that Mary was carrying as the mother.
And what made this all possible for Elizabeth to know this? The Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, the text says. Okay, so the trip from Nazareth to Judah would be about 70 to 80 miles. Why do you think she makes this trip? Very possibly. You know, rumors are going to be starting to swirl around town. Anybody else? Why do you think she makes this trip? Let's ask this. Okay, Tracy. Why she didn't stay longer. Well, let's ask this question, and then I'll go to Karen, and then I'll go to Andrew. Let's ask this question. If you're Mary, and you're just told this, and you're told your cousin has one, who you love your cousin, might you want to share something with her? Might you want to be a part of what is obviously greater and much more significant than either one of you, but you're both are involved in the same great event? Would that be something that you might want to pull together and sit around and talk about a little bit? Who did I say? I was going to say Karen and then Andrea. If anyone can understand what I'm going through, it's my older cousin Elizabeth, because an angel spoke to her husband too. I mean, imagine the things these two could talk about. Andrea. Okay, maybe she didn't have anyone. Maybe Mary's mother's passed away. Maybe she died at a young age. Or maybe there were, yeah, we don't know what. Brother Earl.
There's a possibility that she, knowing how old, I don't know how old Elizabeth was, but knowing how old Elizabeth was, she might have gone there to help her and be a help to her too in her older age, and having that baby, knowing it would be difficult.
Okay, maybe she went out of the goodness of her heart to help Elizabeth. Let's ask this question. Have you ever worked on something that you care about a lot with somebody else? Let's talk about a spiritual thing. You ever been a part of converting someone alongside of somebody else? This person maybe was teaching them, and then you taught them, and then you baptized them, and you're so excited to share in the spiritual joy with this other person. You just can't help but you want to go and see them and talk to them. Hey, you'll never guess. We finally got old, whatever, baptized today, you know? What these two have to share, no one who's ever walked the face of the earth could have shared what they're going to go through. Becky.
Well, it might be the timing is relevant, because if Elizabeth was only 6 months pregnant and Mary stayed there 3 months, she might have saw the birth of John the Baptist. So she might have been there also to assist in the birthing and learn more about the process of having a child, because she's going to go through it herself.
Okay, it kind of goes with what Earl said. Perhaps she was coming as a helpmeet. I mean, and really there's no wrong answer here, because we don't know why she came. My personal opinion is she wanted to share something great with her cousin. That's what I think. But whatever the reasoning, she made this journey of 70 to 80 miles to be with her older cousin. We'll go Phil, then we're going to push on in the text. Brother Phil.
Well, also, it's after the angel told Mary everything's going to happen to her, that she's also, cousin Elizabeth, pregnant too. Why did he tell her that? She needed to know it.
You know, one of the things we said a minute ago, right, is that the angel was giving her further evidence that here's why you can believe in what I'm telling you. Even your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. In her older age, she's barren, never had a kid. Absolutely. Look at this comment, and then I had a hand or two over here. I'll take that in 1 second. But I want to just look at verse 42 really quickly. One of the things that Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." When I was reading and preparing for this class, that phrase in our English translations isn't really quite as powerful as it is in the original. It's a Greek. They're writing this in Greek, but this was a Hebrew expression. So the Jews used this expression, and it didn't just mean "blessed are you," but it was actually indicating that you are the most blessed among women. It was pointing to the tip of the iceberg kind of a statement. So when he says in verse 42, she is saying to Mary, "You are the most blessed of women." Women are all blessed when they have children. Elizabeth herself was going to be blessed in carrying one of the prophets of God. A prophet that Jesus Christ was going to say that you know, he was one of the greatest prophets of all time. But she comes in and she is told by Elizabeth that you are the most blessed. More so than me or anybody else, you are the most blessed of all women. Glinda, and then Dara. I think that's what the hands were. Is that
41.
Verse 41. Okay, the leaping of the baby. Well, you know, in scriptures, in the New Testament, there's a different use of the phrase being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? There's the miraculous filling, and then there's the non-miraculous. I think here what this is this was the miraculous filling of the Holy Spirit, allowing her to see beyond what humans would see, allowing her to have a God-like vision of this event. If that makes any sense. Dara.
Well, I was just echoing some of the other thoughts of everybody, but it just seems like with Mary, you know, going to visit Elizabeth, I mean, Mary's about to be under some heavy fire. You know, she is about to be just gone crazy by the religious community. And so I think that, you know, I mean, Mary did what all of us would do. I mean, if things aren't going well, we immediately go to those who can give us the right encouragement to do the job.
One of the things we're going to talk about with Mary, not today, is we're going to talk about the unique challenges that Mary had during her pregnancy. And that's, Dara's kind of tipping on that right now. Other comments at this point? Yes, Shirley.
I was just reading verse 43, and it says, but why is this granted to me? I assume that's Mary speaking?
Elizabeth. Again, the Holy Spirit was indwelling her, right? And so she had this God-like vision of this ordeal. Now, I'm going to make this point. Never mind. I'll do that later. Other comments on this text so far? I will make one comment. We kind of covered it in class a couple of weeks ago, but Glenda just pointed it out. Here's a baby leaping in the womb of Elizabeth. Then in verse 44, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says the baby was leaping for joy. And this comment was made in class, and it's worthy of being made again. Is there any greater evidence that what is inside a mother is a baby and not just some fetus, which we can discard, than this text here? That inside of Elizabeth, she called it, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, she called it a baby, and she pointed out that this baby was having an emotion. It was filled with joy. What an amazing text on the nature of that one growing inside the mother. That it is absolutely a baby. Other comments before we push on in the text? Other comments? Okay, let's... I heard a comment, yes.
Babies move before you're 6 months. So this baby must have at least
Again, the Holy Spirit was indwelling her, so it wasn't, you know, I mean, a lot of us might think, woohoo, you know, the baby was happy, but she, without a doubt, knew, right? And again, it's an amazing thing because, well, it goes into the whole thing is how does God work, so maybe that's too big for this class because I can't handle that question myself, but you're right, the baby inside the mother hears the voice of Mary who's carrying the Lord, and the baby leaps for joy in her womb. What an amazing, amazing statement. Diane.
Impossible without
Yeah, interesting point. The whole point of this baby, the whole purpose of its coming to being, has just entered the room. That's what this baby is being born for, to be the forerunner of this other one. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Any other comments before we move on in the text? Okay, let's pick up then in verse 45 through 56. We probably won't get through all of this, but I'm sorry, 46 through 56. And so now Mary is going to do her song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. How does Mary address God in this praise? Go back to verse 46 and 47. How does she address God? Sean? Okay, she points out that He gives her joy, correct? Okay, Greg. Very good comments, Greg. And you're right. One of the things she addresses Him as is holy. And, you know, we're supposed to be as Christians holy, but our holy is just derived from the One who really is genuinely holy, right? We gain holiness because we are baptized into the One who is holy. We'll go Christina, then Diane. Look at verse 46 and 47, which you just did there, Christina. Mary, look how she begins her praise. "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, the Lord in the Old Testament, in our version of the Old Testament, when it's all capitals, we understand that to mean Yahweh, right? If it's L and then small O-R-D in the Old Testament, it means Lord in a different sense. It could also be used of God. So in the New Testament, we don't know exactly when they were trying to use the name Yahweh or not. But a lot of times, if they're doing an Old Testament quote, it will indicate that for us. But here she simply calls Him Lord. Was she indicating that this was Yahweh? I think it's very likely. But at least she's acknowledging that this One is the One who is master in my life. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Savior." Those are amazing titles, amazing descriptions that she is giving to God as she begins this praise. Other comments on that so far? Becky, then Phil.
I was just looking at that she knew that she would be called blessed from generation to generation, so she knew there was something that was going to be quicker, all the way just dealing with their generation or just their people.
And I mean, obviously, her statement is true, right? Absolutely. Phil?
Almost every verse starts with "He" or "for He." All praise goes to God.
This is a song of praise, isn't it? Absolutely. Okay, how does she describe her response to God? Okay, she addresses Him as Lord, God, my Savior. Then she describes her response. It says her soul magnifies the Lord. When you hear the phrase "magnify," what do you think? What does that? How does that strike you? What does that mean to you? Okay, put the light on it. Okay, it's great, big. Okay, you know, and really the idea kind of Becky was kind of hitting on it means to kind of put a focus on it and then to enlarge that focus, doesn't it? To make something magnified means we've made it big. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul looks at God and recognizes the greatness of God. My soul looks at God and recognizes the vastness of God. It magnifies Him in a sense that it's like stepping back and trying to see who God is. My soul magnifies the Lord. Yes, Diane. Mary's pulling in Old Testament passages, Old Testament knowledges. English people don't quote me on that. But Mildred made this point earlier, right? Mary knows the Scripture. And here's one example of it. She's pulling in the Old Testament Scripture. She's referencing Old Testament stories, Old Testament promises. And then notice also this. It says in verse 46, my spirit rejoices in God. What a great lesson for us. We need to rejoice in God, don't we? In the book of Nehemiah, Andrea on Wednesday nights, she likes to ask this song from this little red book. And it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And Andrea likes that song. I guess she likes it. She requests it quite a bit. I guess she likes it. In the book of Nehemiah is where that text comes from. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me just ask the question, how should the joy of the Lord be our strength? Should it give you strength to know what God has done for you? Should it give you strength to know I can overcome hardships because I have one on my side who is the creator of the universe? Should that not give you strength? That you have the joy of the Lord in your life should give us strength. And Mary kind of hits on a similar thought to me. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Well, why does your spirit rejoice? Because she finds joy in who her God is and what He has done for her. So as she begins this song of praise, she just begins it with who He is and what she, and what He means to her. I magnify her, my spirit, her. I magnify Him, my spirit rejoices in Him. And she's caught up in this, I think, spontaneous hymn of praise. Now maybe she sat down and jotted it out, but to me I like the idea that it's a spontaneous one. And again, that doesn't mean it is. Now notice, as we're running out of time, I want to hit a couple more points, and then I'll open up some questions or comments. Also, look at verse 49. And notice that she says, she will be called blessed, and this is the important point, because of what He has done for her. She's going to be called blessed because of what He has done for her. Verse 49 says, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Verse 48 says, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who has... Why was she called blessed from the generations to come? It wasn't because of how great she was, although she was a great person. That's not why she was going to be called blessed. It's going to be because of what God has done for her. Let's ask the question about ourselves. Why should people in the world look at Christians and say they are blessed? Why should they look at us and make that statement? Becky?
Because of things we do in Christ's name.
Okay. Because what we do for Him? Greg?
I think from a lot of this, from her example, from Mary's example, that we are blessed because we believe in the Lord and we're humbled before Him and we receive His honor and His gifts to us.
You know, I mean, really as Christians, the reason we're blessed is not because of what we do. The reason we're blessed is because of what God has done for us. The reason the nation of Israel was blessed in the Old Testament, right, was because of what God did for them. He took them out of Egypt, and when they were complaining and grumblers, He did good things for them. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul lays it out very clearly that while we were God's enemies, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because we were righteous or holy or because we were cute or handsome or whatever. He died for us while we were sinners, while we were His enemies, because He loved us. Why are we blessed as Christians? Why should the world look at us and say we're blessed? Because of what God has done for us. And that's what Mary's point is here. People are going to call me blessed from generations to come because what God has done for me. Now, certainly we should be a blessing as well, but that's kind of a different direction. Comments, observations, statements. Okay. Let's continue to talk about her song of praise. How does she describe the works of God in her song of praise here? What are some of the descriptions she gives? Mighty. Verse 49, mighty. What other descriptions do we see?
Mercy.
We see, who said that? Diane? Mercy. Is that a work of God? He's merciful. What else do we see? He has done great things for me. Verse 51, He has shown strength with His arm. You know, it's kind of interesting in Scriptures when you look at, when Scriptures uses the idea of God, of God's body. You know, when it talks about His hands, a lot of times it's talking about, and I'm not going to say all the time, a lot of times it's talking about His care for His people. When it talks about God's arm, though, it's talking about, and again, I'm not going to say this is an absolute because I haven't studied it, but a lot of times when we're talking about His arm, it's demonstrating His strength in my life, His strength in this world. So Mary's pointing out, again, in this passage, He has shown strength with His arm, verse 51. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. We'll go Diane and then Karen. She's really, I mean, it's absolutely true, right? That what we know of God, beginning in the book of Genesis, the Bible just keeps on adding on to our view of God throughout Scriptures, right? At the beginning, He's a creator. Then He's a deliverer. And then, you know, and eventually, He's our Savior. He's our Father. Yeah, and one of the things you do see in the New Testament revealed a little more clearly is the Trinity of God, absolutely. Karen. And it's done in God's name. These works are done in His name. It's His power. Okay, do I have another hand over here somewhere? Okay, I just want to make this comment about her praise, and then our time is going to be up. If you kind of look at some of these, you kind of look at what she's talking about, her focus seems to be on God's hand and strength offered to who? Israel, but specifically what people is, I mean, okay, I'm not saying that's incorrect, but let me say this. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty, but He has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich He has sent away. So we have rich and proud and the mighty. We have the lowly, the hungry, the servants in remembrance. What we see in this passage is she is praising God for the works and mercy she gives to those who are lowly estate, to those who are of little value. She's recognizing that God has not overlooked those who don't have much. She's recognizing the fact that God has not overlooked those who are of humble estates, who don't have anything. And she's praising God because what does she view of herself? She thinks she's all that in a bag of chips, as they say. She doesn't think that she's all that great, necessarily. She recognizes that she is lowly, and she is saying, God did great things through me. So this praise is amazing because it's really recognizing how God works through people who a lot of times don't have much. Thank you guys for your attention and hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Don't leave yet. We're not done, though.